So what now, God? I'm tired of failing. I cannot live like this anymore. And this prayer thing, I really don't know how to do it. Are you even listening? I mean, I pray for financial help. Things aren't getting better. I pray for guidance and making decisions, but decisions aren't getting easier. I pray for my relationships to improve, but they're just getting worse. Would you talk to me? I can't hear you. I can't smell you. I can't touch you. I can't feel you. Would you just please talk to me? What do you want me to do? I'll do it. You want me to read more? You want me to pray more? Is that what you want? Fine. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. I don't even know what that means. What, a kingdom of justice? Of equality? Of freedom? What? A kingdom of french fries and sour cream? Of cucumbers? Of what? That's all I know is this dirty old rotten world. Where is this kingdom? And is this all there is? Right here, right now? Is this all I'll ever know? What do you want from me, God? And would you talk to me? Are you even listening?
That man was struggling. He was in a bad place, and many people have been there before. But those last three questions that he asked are very telling to what's going on in his life. His last three questions were, what do you want from me, God? Would you talk to me, and would you listen to me? Or are you listening? I've talked to many people who are crying that same thing all the time. And yet, I would submit to you that if you get the first question answered well, it changes everything in your life. Matter of fact, if you are struggling today with your prayer life, with just you don't feel close to the Lord, where are you? It just seems distant. I would submit to you that what I'm going to talk about today is life-changing, and I really mean that. I know I say that a lot, but it is, and hopefully by the end of this service, you'll know exactly what I am talking about. So we are going to look through these three statements quickly, and I'm going to spend most of my time on the first one, and then we're going to talk about something that I think is going to help us greatly. What do you want from me, God? That's a great question. Really, that's a question that should have been asked and you should have thought about when you made a profession of faith. What does God want from you? Well, the plan of salvation is this. We're all sinners here. None of us are perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We deserve His judgment, every one of us. But God, in His mercy, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived an absolutely perfect life, and He went to the cross, and He bore the very penalty, the very wrath of God that your sins and my sins deserve. He died on the cross for us. He was buried, and on the third day He rose from the dead, and He offers to all who will see Him as He is, He will change their lives. He will give them eternal life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." No one here is good. No one has earned or has merited eternal life. By faith alone in Christ alone, we come to Him. But when we come to Him, we come and we surrender all to Him. So when we come to Him in faith, we also come and we repent. That idea of repenting is, it means experience a change of mind that now sees God as true and beautiful and worthy of all praise and all obedience. It changes everything. You were going in one direction. Now you are going in a different direction. You were living for yourself. Now it's like, Lord, I am yours, and you turn and you give him everything. And faith and repentance are the opposite side of the exact same coin. It is impossible to place your faith in Jesus Christ without first changing your mind about your sin and what Jesus has done for you in your situation. So all of salvation, including faith and repentance, is the result of God drawing, God opening your eyes, him leading you to repentance. And some of you, can I say this? Some of you never understood that. Some of you were at a gathering and they said, do you want to be forgiven of your sin? You want to give your life to Jesus? Raise your hand. And you said, well, yeah, I want to be forgiven of my sin. And you just raised your hand. And no one ever talked about counting the cost. No one talked about what it really meant to give your life to Jesus. That your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. So you're going to glorify God in your bodies. You were taught almost an easy believism. And Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so when we come to him, we do know that we're surrendering all. And it goes on to say in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. The rest of our lives are his. So back to the question, what does God want from, what do you want from me, God? He wants everything. He wants it all. R.C. Sproul has said, God wants your life, not an hour a week, not 10% of your income. He wants you. And if you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, he wants you. He wants all of you, every bit of, not just Sunday morning, great that you're here, he wants all of you. He doesn't want you just to throw Jesus in your luggage rack. He wants every part of who you are. He wants to change your experience. He wants you to change your mind that you would see him as true and beautiful and worthy of praise. He wants you to put him at the center. Can I just say, we are by nature self-centered. Every one of us here. Every one of us here, including me, we are self-centered. And we need to see him as beautiful and true and right and our God, and he is all. We don't want to be like the Pharisees who Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let us not be a people that are like that. So what does he want? He wants everything. Now, the other parts are easy. When you get that part, would you talk to me? Is the Lord going to talk to you when you give him everything? That answer is yes. I mean, it's very clear that he's given us his word long ago and many times in many ways. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, with whom he's appointed the heir of all things and through whom he created the world. He has given us his word and he speaks to us through his word every day. Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. He gives us his word that we would know it and meditate upon it. So yes, he's going to speak to you. And then the last one, are you listening? And that answer is yes, he's listening. He hears. It says in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And you say, well, man, every day I do evil. Every day it seems like I do something wrong. And that's the good news of the gospel, is that you're right. We're sinners. And Christ came, and in ourselves we're not righteous. But the Bible says God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in Christ, you stand righteous. You stand righteous before him. Your righteousness is not your own. It was bought with a price. And so the frustration that this man is feeling, that we all feel from time to time is greatly changed. And if you're there today or you're struggling, and even if you're not, I want to talk about something that is going to be a culture shift in your life, and it's going to change your walk. Are you feeling maybe a little distant from God? Was there a time in your life when God was closer? Well, how do we change that? This morning, I'm going to talk about the rest of our time praying the scriptures. Praying the scriptures, and not an idea that's new with me. There's many books that are written about it, but in reality, when we talk about praying the scriptures, the Bible, it's in there already. We learn it in the Old Testament. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, "But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and did not forsake them." This is the people of Israel confessing their sin, and they're praying to God, Exodus 34:6, of what God did and who God is. And so we're going to do that. We're going to do that today. Now, there's an acrostic that we use when we pray around here, and it's the ACTS acrostic. And the A stands for adoration, the C stands for confession, the T, thanksgiving, and then the S, supplication. And we're going to spend a good 15 minutes in adoration. Now, adoration reminds you who God is, his attributes, and workings. And we're going to spend our time here. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the 139th Psalm, because I'm going to try to model this for you. And because here's the key. Right now, most of us walked in here, you're consumed with your life, with what's going on in your family, with your health, with this situation, with that situation. And we are called to be a people who ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. We ascribe glory to the one who saved us. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is to be holy. It is to be praised. It is to be lifted up. And this is, I was reading an article, this is the one prayer that God answers all the time. Do you realize that we praise what we love? We talk about what we love all the time. I have foster grandbabies, and if you talk to me for a few minutes, I'm pulling out my phone and I'm showing you pictures because they're the cutest kids in the world. Why do I do that? Is it because I don't care? It's like, no. I love them. I think about them. And we do the same thing. We spend our mental energy thinking about the things we love and we adore. And really, who's the one we are to adore most of all? It's our God. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray this like I would, but I'm going to pray with my eyes open, and I'm going to be talking to you. But this is going to be worship for all of us. The 139th Psalm. Let's get started. Verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Father, I praise you that you are the God that knows me. You know everything. You know when I sit down. Verse 3, you have searched out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. You know everything, Lord. You know what's going on in my health, in my body, in my job, in my finances, in my family, in my head, in my attitude. You know it all, Lord. Goes on to say, verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in. Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Think about this, Lord. You do this for me. You have my coming and going. You have both sides of me. You are my rear guard. You have my life. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I know that answers. I can't go anywhere. Drop down to verse 13. For you form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Lord, You're the one that made me. You made me the way I am with no hair and all that stuff. It's all good. I praise you because you have me. Verse 15, my frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, my unformed body. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So, Lord, you've numbered my days. You've numbered my children's days, my grandchildren's days. You have this. You're the God that knows all. I don't need to worry about what's going to happen to me because you have my life. Now, I'm going to put some verses up on the screen, and we're going to do that through these. Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Lord, I praise you. Because every day I screw up, and you are merciful, and you are gracious, you are slow to anger, you're abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but will by no means clear the guilty. Lord, you just don't let everyone in. Those that are your children, you have given Christ's righteousness to them. So I praise you that I have access to you. I praise you that I'm forgiven. I thank you for the gospel. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Lord, your holiness, your otherness, your pureness is over all of your attributes. Your love is a holy love. Your justice is a holy justice. Your righteousness is a holy righteousness. Holiness governs everything, even your wrath. It's not like my wrath, Lord. You are a God that does all things well, and you are holy, and I can't even comprehend that. And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hand. Lord, this morning when I got up and I saw that 3 inches of snow, and I saw how it clung to the trees, how great you are that you've made this world. You sustain this world. I praise your name. Isaiah 45 and verse 6, that the people may know from the rising of the sun from the east or from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord. There is no other. I form light. I create darkness. I make well-being. I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Lord, I praise you that you're the God of the universe, that you hold everything. And nothing's going to happen unless you open the gate like you did with Job and let things into my life. And so I trust you, God, that that's the kind of God who you are. Why? Psalm 18:30, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Lord, you are my shield, and your ways are perfect. I'm not perfect, but everything you do is perfect. Your word says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Lord, you don't waste suffering and pain. I pray for a church full of people that are going through suffering and pain. Some of you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't have to fear any evil because he has you. He knows what's going on, and he's working in every family. Psalm 50 and verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. Lord, you own it all. I worry about stuff, but you own it all, Lord. You have all the money, all the resources I could ever ask for. And you're my father, and so you have everything. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. So, Lord, all I have is yours, because you're my God and my king. And you're the one that you are sovereign over life, over nature, over snow, over storms. You are sovereign over everything. Psalm 90 and verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You have no beginning. You have no end. You are the eternal God of the universe. You are everlasting. Many other plans in the mind of men, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Lord, I praise you that everyone's got plans and everything's got going, things going on, but Lord, you are the one who holds it all. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is love and justice and righteousness and all of those other attributes of your holiness, Lord. I just praise you that you're not an angry God. You are a loving God. Even when things are difficult, Habakkuk 3:17, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the produce of the olives fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the pen and there is no herds in the stall. Everything's gone. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You're my Lord. I will rejoice in you. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me to tread on high places. Lord, you are better than any other supply. I don't need anything. I need you. I don't need money in the bank. I need you. I need you most of all. Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and the earth? Lord, you see everything. You saw what I did Friday night. You saw what I did Saturday night. You are the Lord that is near. You're near. You're not distant. I don't need to know where you are. I know where you are. You are not only omnipresent, but you hear. You have my life. We live in a world that's messed up, but your word says he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Lord, you know the evil that goes on in this world. And in you is no darkness at all. Light dwells in you. You are the one that sets up governments. Lord, you know, we've been battling, trying to help people with this shutdown, and yet the word says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. All the nations are nothing before him. They are counted as less than nothing. Lord, America's nothing. China is nothing. Russia's nothing. North Korea's nothing. You are God. You are the Lord of the nations. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That includes colds. That includes cancer. Lord, you have all of this. And your word says in Psalm 34, verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears him and delivers them out of all of his troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. Lord, we're going to glorify you in life or in death. You're going to deliver us from this. This life is short. Your word says this life is a vapor. I praise you, Lord, that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for every one of us who know Jesus. This is not the big show. Lord, you are it. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How unscrutable are your ways. Lord, you are so great, my little 3-pound brain can't even fathom all of your ways. You're just unsearchable, Lord. And I have the privilege to know you, and you love me, and you care for me. Turn over to the 23rd Psalm. This is one we just sang about. And I'm going to read it, and we're going to pray right through this. I'm going to start because you know the beginning of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, you are not only the God of the universe, but you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Anything I need, you say you'll provide all my needs in Christ Jesus. Anything I need, you provide for me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Every week, Lord, as you prompt me, you're leading me to you, not to me, to you. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Lord, you have me. Even as I walk through this valley that I'm going through, I'm going to get through it. One way or another, I'm going to get through it. And you're going to see me safely home. Surely goodness and mercy. Oh, no, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have people that irritate you in the world, difficulties. God has sovereignly allowed, he has prepared a table before you in the presence of his enemies. Lord, I thank you that you're even sovereign over that, because through those trials, through those thorns, through that rub, you're going to help me grow. And it goes on to say, my cup overflows. Lord, you have blessed me more than I deserve. You have blessed me far better than I've treated you. I deserve hell, and you haven't given it to me. And you have blessed me, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, because I know that even if my future is sickness and a sick bed and then death, your goodness and your mercy shall follow me, because you'll never leave me. And then I will leave this world, I will leave this tent, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 1 Timothy 1:17, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You're my King. Now, I just went through 25 passages, maybe 10, 12 minutes, of getting our eyes off of us and onto our God, which is glorious. What do you have to fear? And by the way, I'm just scratching the surface. There are literally hundreds of other passages, thousands of other passages I could have taken you to, that you would see that we serve a huge God. And when you adore him and when you get your eyes on him, all those things that are big deals, and don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying the cancers that some of you are going through and the diagnoses and the family troubles that you're going through. I'm just here to say the God that you serve has all of those things. He has your future. He has your coming and going both now and forevermore. He has everything, and we can trust him. He is a God that is worthy of our praise and trust, because this is not the big show. The best is yet to come. Yes, my 56-year-old body is falling apart, and so is yours. If you're young, enjoy it, but before you know it, it falls apart. Because outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're renewed day by day. But that is why Paul, he could say, now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the flesh, this means fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm torn between the two. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. The best is yet to come. Now, if what I've just done for these 10, 12 minutes doesn't get you excited, then I fear for you. You don't get it. You should be in love with this God who is for you. And when you pray, you should make much of him. And you know what happens? If you don't do this, your problems are huge. And God is small. But if you do this, God is huge. And your problems are small. And every day we battle with this. Every day. The greatest thing that could happen in your life, you want to get close to Jesus? You want to get closer to him? You worship him. You talk about his greatness. Because in our prayer life, you know what we normally do? We come to God and we say, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Or help this person, help that person. And it's okay to pray those things. We're going to get to that in a second. But it starts out by saying, okay, God, you have this. When we pray on Wednesday nights, we go through this model. And we come in and we pray, we share prayer requests. And the prayers are heavy. People are dying. People are sick. There's difficult things that are going on in this church body. Difficult things. And we do that for about 15 minutes. And then we spend about 15, 20 minutes just doing what we did. And you know what happens? It's all good. Because the God who we love has all of those situations. And we go on to pray. We pray for those needs. We pray expecting, knowing that we serve a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Now, I'm going to move on to these quickly. But even as you go through these, you should be confessing. Confessing is naming your sins. Can I just say this? If you have not said, I'm sorry to God in the last 48 hours, or you have not said you're sorry to someone else, you need to wake up. Or is it just me? Because I know I'm a wretch, and every day I say and do stupid things that I need to just clear the air. What happens is we get so self-defending and self-focused that we're not repenting of our sharp words that we say to the Lord. We're not repenting of our worry. In Philippians, it says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. We rationalize, we candy coat our sin. Those people are idiots, so I'm irritated at them. And all that is that's pride and that's sin. So every day, we should be saying to God, Lord, forgive me. You know what I'm saying. You know a thought before it's on my mouth. Forgive me for my irritation. Forgive me for that tone. Forgive me for my attitude that was self-absorbed. Forgive me for loving the world and the things that are in the world. We need to be a people who are doing that, you know, because when we sin, what did David say? Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgments. Lord, I sin against you. And then I need to go make it right. So we do. We got to be doing that. And you'll be doing that even as you're adoring him. You're going to get that verse. You say, oh, Lord, I have been focusing on me and my little thing. And the T is thanksgiving, which when you're adoring the Lord, it's real easy to thank him. It is really easy. It is really, when it says rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, the only way that's possible is when you have a big view of God that says, okay, God, right now I'm going through hell on earth, but I know you have me. You are my God. You have my future. You know what my tomorrow brings. I can trust you. And so I thank you. I can thank you. And so it's going to be a constant adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then the supplication. We're going to be doing it. You do it all the time. But the reality is when we're around negative people, it breeds negativity. And then we get worried and we watch TV. And next thing you know, we're like, oh, the world's ending. The world's ending. Can I just say to you, the world is not going to end until the Lord and when he wants it to end, period. That's what's going to happen. He has the nations. He has your life. He has the economy. And there's mystery there that I don't get, but I know God is God and we are not. And when we have that big view of him, It changes everything. And then we come and we give him requests, expectantly saying, Lord, I pray that you would do this according to your will. According to your will. And any given moment, any given time in this church, we are praying for people who are literally dying, who are battling cancer, whose marriages are in a bad place, who are depressed, who are lost, who are wandering, who are addicted, who are troubled. And that will be all of us at one point in time. But as we go to the God of the universe and as you go to him, here's the thing. You got to do this. And so here's my challenge to you. Say, how do I do this? Take 15 minutes, 5, 10, 15. Start with those verses that I put in the bulletin there. I have a program on my phone called Scripture Typer. You can get a notepad. As you read the Bible and you come across an attribute of God, or you can just read the Psalms, they're full of them. You just praise him. Lord, thank you that you're the God who's numbered our days. You're the God that sustains all things. You do work all things together for good. And you take that time. Take 15 minutes out of your busy life and just worship the God you say you love. And I'm going to guarantee you that you will feel closer to him. You will feel a connection. And what is scary, because I've thought about this for a couple weeks, what is scary is some of you will walk out and you won't even do this. And I feel bad for you. I don't even know if you get it. So I hope that no one walks out of here thinking, oh, that was nice. Really? We have the God of the universe, so you have the privilege to come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, and we should be doing it. And if you say, man, I need help, you know what? Come on a Wednesday. We meet at 6:30. We share some requests. We're going to pray for an hour, which includes adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And you say, pray for an hour? I said, say what I said in the first service. If it kills you, I'll do your funeral for free, okay? But I'm telling you, your life is going to be transformed. Because you and I go through life self-absorbed, looking at us and our situation and me, me, me. And all I'm saying to us as children of God, get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes on him. He is the one to whom we worship. He's the one that changes everything. And if you will do that, you will have joy. You will have a closeness with God that some of you have never had. You know why I know that? Because when I started doing this, I knew of him, but I really know him. I mean, I feel like I'm getting to know him more. And as I read through the Bible and I add to that list, I got like 130 attributes of God that are in my list in my little program that I keep putting them in as I find one. And all throughout the scripture. And you pray those out. You pray for people. I hope this is getting to our hearts that we would know how great our God is. I have asked Ed to come on out in the band, and I've asked him to change the last song that we had, that we would be able to do the song, How Great Is Our God? Because you know what? We do serve a great God. And I pray that you get it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for these dear people. You know our hearts, Lord. Here's the great thing. You perceive our thoughts from afar. You know what every one of us is thinking at this very moment. You know the ones of us that are loving this, and you know the ones of us that are thinking that this is lame and can't wait till it's over. And I pray that you would stir in our hearts, that we would see you for who you are, that you are God and you are worthy of everything, most of all our worship and our praise. So as we stand and sing and worship you, Lord, may you be glorified In Jesus' name, amen. We serve a God who's great. He really is. And I pray that today would start a journey for you, that you would see more and more his greatness. Because it will happen. It will happen as you turn your eyes upon him. You will see God for who he is. And the things of this world do grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Let's pray. Father, may you in every one of our hearts, the people that are here today that call ourselves believers in Jesus, that are Christians, that we would spend the time hallowing your name every day. Lord, we get busy with everything but you. So allow us to take 15 minutes, just focus on your greatness. And Lord, May we meet with you in such a way as we do that, that our lives are transformed, our families are transformed, our attitudes are transformed, our hope is transformed as we see you, the God of the universe. So, Lord, do this, I pray, for your glory. Lord, that we would see you. And all God's people said, amen.